In the same way, Sanballat, for the fifth time, sent his servant to me. Now listen, with an open letter in his hand. Now, you have to understand the custom of that time when you sent a letter, especially to higher-ups in the government, so to speak. It would be on a piece of parchment or sheepskin, and you would write it out, and then you would roll it up. And because this was a personal correspondence, you would put a seal on it with candle wax and then press the wax with a signet ring, which would have my initial on it if I were sending it, or your initial if you were sending it. Then everyone would know when that letter was received that no one else had read it. But that is not the way the enemy of Nehemiah did in this case. He sent that letter, what? Unsealed. That meant gossip, and that a lot of folks along the way, surely not, humans would never do this. Man, what does this letter say? I gotta know. They've read all that stuff that was demeaning the character and the intentions of Nehemiah. And it's important that you hear this. Anytime you attempt to be a part of God's great purpose, people are going to gossip and accuse you of things. The Bible talks about the destructive power of the tongue and what happens when you make this commitment to set up, step out, and begin building. That gossip, that destructive power of the tongue is going to come from some of the people that you least expect it. Now, you're not going to believe this, but a lot of it is going to come from what? I heard some of you whispering it. It's okay, say it out loud. From the church, which probably in many cases are your friend. Which doesn't seem right, does it? I don't think anywhere in the Bible it says that we should share gossip about each other in church, does it? Let's be honest. No one is more aware of your own stuff, of my own stuff, and our internal struggles and contradictions than I am or that you are. No one else is more aware of those internal battles that are taking place inside of you, are they? No one. You are the one that knows it. You know it. That inner voice is telling you all the time, oh man, if those people only knew. If those people only knew. The whole purpose of the voice within you is to get you to go beyond guilt to shame. You see, there's a difference between guilt and shame. Guilt is when I feel bad about what I've done and can be a positive force in our lives, right? Because it can lead us to repentance and corrective action. Guilt is when I don't like what I have done, but shame is when I don't like who I am. If this inner voice can get you to not like who you are, then you have distrusted God's purpose and God's unconditional love. Always remind yourself that there is nothing you can do to make God quit loving you. There is nothing you can do to make God quit loving you. There is nothing that you have done to make God's promise invalid in your life. Paul puts it like this. What then are we to say about these things? Let's read this together. If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. It is God who justifies. God has chosen every person here. So if God has chosen you, who, pray tell, can stand against you? If God has truly chosen you, and God has truly chosen you, who can stand against you? No one. No one can. Not one can condemn you. And you know what, folks? I don't want you to miss this. Not one means you, too. You can't condemn yourself, either.